أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد صادق الوعد الأمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وصحابته الغر الميامين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. أما بعد، my wonderful brothers and sisters in this great group Al-Irshad Al-Ummah, I greet you all with the best of greetings. So here, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, 24th of Sha'ban, 1441 AH, which corresponds to 18th of April 2020, we shall insha'Allah proceed on our lessons on Hidayat al-Mustafid fi Ahkam al-Tajweed. In our previous classes, we have discussed about Lam al-Ta'rif, or Alif wa Lam al-Ma'rifah, like we addressed it in the other class, and we said that it is divided into two. We have Lam al-Shamsiyya and Lam al-Qamariyya, and we said in the case of Lam al-Shamsiyya, it is to be pronounced with al-Idgham. It is like, for instance, Ash-Shamsu, Ash-Shamsu Tajiri, Ash-Shamsu. You remove the Lam, and if you look at the spelling, it is written Alifun Lamun Shinun, but you remove the Lam there and make it Ash-Shamsu Tajiri Limustaqarillaha. And also we said in the case of the Qamar, you have to recite the Lamun there with full Idhar. And we give many examples as we have done last week. So I hope that we've practiced that. Because like we were trying to tell us, the learning of Tajweed is more achievable or accomplishable through practice. And only practice can actually make you perfect in it. Inshallah, today we shall be proceeding to our next issue, reading from the same book, which is Hidayat al-Mustafid. So if you have the book, you have to open to page number 13. Page number 13, you can see there a new topic. It said, Fasli fi ahkam al-lam al-waqi'i fil-fi'l. This is a topic that explains the rules for pronouncing a lam which falls in a verb. A lam that falls in a verb. You know, yesterday we talked about the alif wa lamun that comes before a noun. So now we are moving further still in the ahkam of lam sakina. This is lam that has a sukun. We are now talking about the lam that falls within a verb. So Malam is asking the question as well. Ma hukumu lam al-waqi'i fil fi'li? What are the rulings? What are the rulings of a lam that falls within a verb? The answer, Malam says, Yajibu idharuha mutlaqan. Malam says, it is compulsory for you to pronounce it with idhar. Yani, you should pronounce it manifestly from the point of articulation with its description, with its appropriate description. Mutlaqan, you should pronounce it with idhar, complete idhar. Siwa'un kana al-fi'lu madiyan aw amran. You say it's so. You have to do so. Even if or whether it is a past tense or a future tense, it does not matter. As far as lam is within a verb, you have to pronounce it with izhar mutlaq. Malan says, وَتَلْحَقُ الْمَاضِي فِي آخِرِهِ وَوَسَطِهِ. And the lam is usually following in the end and in the middle. In the case of what? In the case of a past tense. You usually note this kind of lam sakina in the middle and in the end for of verbs, if the verbs are past tenses. Then it says, Ammal amru fa fi akhirihi. So, however, in the case of a future tense, then you find lam sakina at the end. So, Malam is trying to tell us that lam sakina can be found in the middle or in the end part of a past verb. A past tense, and it can also be found in the ending of a future tense. Malam says, Mithalu fi'lil madi, example for the past tense. Malam says, Ja'alna, Ja'alna. You pronounce the lam from the point of its articulation and with its full description. Ja'alna, you don't alter it at all. Ja'alna, we made, that is a past tense. Waqulna, waqulna, we said, that is a past tense. Wa dalal, وَبَلَلْنَا وَبَلَلْنَا. The lamun sakin in there is also pronounced with idhar, and we lost. It is a yani, it is a past tense as well. Waltaqa 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 wal waltaqa. So all of these are past tenses, and you pronounce the lamun with what? With full idhar. The Maran says وَمِثَالُ فِعْلِ الْأَمْرِ. As for an example in the case of a future tense, Maran is giving us an example. He says قُلْ نَعَمْ قُلْ نَعَمْ قُلْ نَعَمْ. قُلْ is a future tense. Say, it is an order. قُلْ نَعَمْ. So these are the examples under this particular issue. What we have just discussed now is simply whenever you find a lamu sakina in a verb, whether it's past tense or in the future tense, you have to pronounce the lamu sakina with full idhar, and you pronounce it without altering, you know, the description of the lam. And I do not think that we should have any differences understanding this part. I think it's normal for most of us to recite it and to recite it with idhar, but it is a rule, and if you've been doing it right, then you now have knowledge backing for what you've been doing. So inshallah, we'll be moving next to the next topic. Malam says faslu fi ahkamil idgham. Malam is saying this topic is talking about the ahkam of al idgham, yani the rulings of idgham. You know, we talked about idgham earlier before, and we talked about idgham under nun sakina, and we also talked about idgham under tanween, and idgham under mim sakina, and also we talked about idgham in the pronunciation of lam shamsiya. We said it is insertion, for you to insert, for you to make them to overlap. That is idgham. Then there is full idgham, and then there is half idgham. Like we talked about under nun sakina, we said idgham al naqis or idgham al kamil, and we said idgham al kamil is idgham bi ghayr gunna. And if you can remember properly, we said that they have just two alphabets, which is lam wa ra. So we're just trying to revise what we've done on idgham. But now the idgham we're talking about is any other idgham that does not have to do with the idgham in nun sakina or mim sakina. Those ones stand. Those ones are the way they are, so they are not to be tempered with. But now we're talking about extra idgham found in the recitation of Quran, in the Qira'atul Hafsin and Tariq Shatibiyya. So in that kind of recitation, we usually find other kinds of idgham. Like we said, the idghams that we have discussed about, the idgham under nun sakina or tanween, and the idgham under mim sakina, and the idgham under lam shamsiya, all these idgham stand. Okay, so but now we're talking about other kinds of idgham. Malam says ma huwa al-idgham. What is idgham? Malam says huwa ibaratun an khalq al-harif harfaini wa idkhali ahdihima fil akhir. Malan says it is a way, it is a style of recitation, it is a way of pronouncing a particular term by mixing or blending harfaini, yani two alphabets, wa idkhali ahdihima fil akhir, and putting one into the other. Like we've discussed earlier, it is insertion, inserting an alphabet into another. Malan says ila kam qismi yanqasimu. That's in page 14 now. We are going to the next question. Ila kam qismi yanqasimu. How into how many divisions is idgham divided? Malan says yanqasimu ila thalathati aqsamin. Idgham is divided into three. Malan says mutamathilain. We have idghamul mutamathilain, and you know we discussed this under mim sakina, but it's coming back here again. Wa mutaqaribin aw mutaqaribain wa mutajanisain. So these are the three kinds of idgham we have. We have idgham al-mutamathilaini wa idgham al-mutaqaribaini wa idgham al-mutajanisain. So these are the three types of idgham we have. So the next question the Malam is asking, ma huwa idgham al-mutamathilaini? What is the idgham of mutamathilain? For us to understand this properly, like we said, idgham is simply what? Insertion. Mutamathilain simply means two things that are similar. Similar in point of articulation for the alphabet. You pronounce the alphabet from the same point of articulation, and also you the alphabets have the same descriptions. Yani it's just the same alphabet. Because if an alphabet is coming out from the same point of articulation and it still has the same description, that simply means it's the same alphabet. Like for instance, now if I say mimun have the same point of articulation with baun, because it's on the lips, right? Then you now come and say that they have the same description. That is wrong, because the baun and the mimun have different description, even though the point of articulation is the same. So we have alphabets that have similar points of articulation but different descriptions. We have alphabets that have these similar descriptions but different points of articulation. Then we have alphabets that have similar points of articulation and similar descriptions, which is the same alphabet. So Mylan says, the question we've asked Dama, we said, ma huwa idgham al-mutamathilain? What is idgham al-mutamathilain? The answer here, Mylan says, huwa ay yattafiq al-harfani sifatan wa makhrajan. It is the meeting of two alphabets in terms of description and points of articulation. In terms of both description and points of articulation, they meet together. The next question, Mylan says, ma hukmu idgham al-mutamathilain? What is the ruling on idgham al-mutamathilain? What is the ruling for the pronunciation of idgham of two alphabets that have similar characteristics and similar points of articulation? The answer here, Mylan says, حُكْبُهُ الْإِدْغَابُ وُجُوبًا نَحْوِ. The ruling on pronouncing it is idgham wujuban. It's a compulsory idgham. You have to make an idgham available compulsorily. For instance, idrib bi asoka, the baun at the end there is coming, is having a sukun, and then the next baun is having a kisra. So you have to insert the baun sakin into the next baun, and you pronounce it with shadda. You just assume that that baun is carrying a shadda, and you have to insert it together. You don't say ibrib. You know, baun is a harful qalqala on a normal day, and it's something we're going to discuss inshallah as we come down. Normally, if you are going to pause on that ayah, you're going to say ibrib. So because of the fact that baun has a qalqala, does not mean that you have to bring that qalqala here if you are reciting it together. You don't say ibrib bi asoka, no. You say ibrib bi asoka. Now, then there is another example here Madam is giving us. He said, balla yakhafuna. Balla. The labun there is having a sukun. The next lam or alifun is having a fathah. So you join it together. Idgham. You put it together and say balla. You see that these are similar alphabets. You say balla yakhafuna. There is another example here. Madam is giving us. He said, qad dakhalu. Then dakhalu, qad dakhalu. The daun there having a sukun. The next alphabet after it is another da. Idghamul mutamathilain. You say qad dakhalu. You join it together. Another example is idhahaba. Idhahaba. There is tha there. There is another tha following it. Idghamul mutamathilain. You recite it idhahaba. وَمَا أَجْبَحَ ذَلِكَ and other things that look like this. Then the next issue we're going to be looking at is مَا هُوَ إِدْغَامُ الْمُتَقَارِبَيْنِ. Now, what is the next kind of idgham? You know, we said they have three types. The first one, we said إِدْغَامُ الْمُتَمَثِلَيْنِ. Now, we're talking about إِدْغَامُ الْمُتَقَارِبَيْنِ. This is the idgham of alphabets that are what similar. Mylan says, مَا هُوَ, the answer now, مَا تَقَارَبَ مَخْرِجًا وَصِفَةً. It is alphabets that are similar, yani they are close. They are close. From the point of articulation, they are pronounced from similar places. Like for instance, a word that is pronounced from the tip of your tongue, then a word that is pronounced from slightly below the tip of your tongue, yani it is behind, going deeper into your tongue, slightly. So you see that the point of articulation is a little bit similar, or points that you pronounce by joining your tongue to your teeth, and also alphabets that you pronounce by joining the tip of your tongue to the top of your mouth. You see they have a similar point of what? A close point of articulation. And then they also have close relationship in terms of their description. So Malam says, if you find these two kind of words coming together in case of one having a sukun and then the next one following it is having a harka, then how are you going to pronounce it? Malam is now telling us that you pronounce it using the rule called idghamul mutaqaribaini. Idghamul mutaqaribaini. Ma mithal dhalika. What are the examples of this? The answer now Malam is giving us, it says mithalu ta'i inda dhali, ta and dha, ta, you pronounce ta and see where it's coming from, ta, you see, then dha, you see that they are both coming from the tip of your tongue, one is touching the tip of your tongue and the teeth, your teeth, the other one is touching the tip of your, yani the incisors, the other one is touching the tip of your tongue and the top of your mouth. So you now see that these alphabets are what are similar, or they have a close point of what of articulation. Now an example for how you are going to do the idgham of this is given here. Like the example here, Malam says mithalu ta'i inda dhali. For instance, we have yalhath, yalhath, yani yalhath. That tha'un you see there. That is supposed to be the usually, if this is recited, usually you find that many reciters recite it with a pause because there is a jim and jawaz for the pause there. Yal hath, if you go to the surah, it's in Surah Al-Hud. Now, if you are going to recite that, you now say dhalika, which is what is following the surah, the alphabet. Now, in a case where you want to recite it together, usually, like I said, you recite it by saying yal hath, yani with a pause, then dhalika. However, if you choose to recite it together, you say yal hath dhalika, yal hath dhalika, yal hath dhalika, yani you are skipping the tha'un. You skip the tha'un completely, and you enter straight into tha. Naam? You enter straight into tha. Okay, so mithalu tha'i inda dhali. I think you should correct that. The example given here in the beginning, mithalu tha'i, not ta. You see that ta is written there. There is need for a third dot. So it's supposed to be mithalu ta'i. So you have the example there. Yal hadza, yal hadza, yal hadza, yal hadza. The dha'un is carrying a shadda. If you open the surah, the dha'un is carrying a shadda simply because of the fact that you have to recite it with what? Idghamul mutaqaribain. Now, the next example, وَمِثَالُ الْبَاءِ عِنْدَ الْمِيمِ. Also, there is an example for ba'un that is followed by mim. Malam is giving us an example. He says, يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ, يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ مَعَنَا. You see that ba'un there? It is supposed to be يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ مَعَنَا. If you are going to pause, you say يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ, then مَعَنَا, يَا بُنَيَّ ارْكَبْ مَعَنَا. However, if you are going to recite it together, you said ya bunayyarkam, ya bunayyarkam, bunayyarkam ma'ana. You skip the ba'un. You are going to put it inside it. Ya bunayyarkam ma'ana, without allowing the ba'un to show at all. Ya bunayyarkam ma'ana. Why the gunna comes in is because mim al-mushaddad usually has a gunna. If you can remember from our former class, mim al-mushaddad, which is what is going to happen if you're going to have al-idgham there, the ba'un will be silenced and the mimun has to be given a shadda because you are putting it into the mimun, so it now becomes a saikin before the harka itself. Now if a saikin comes with a harka, that is the description of a shadda dama. So you have to bring up the gunna there. Ya bunayya kam ma'ana. وَمِثَالُ الْقَافِ عِنْدَ الْكَافِ. Also, there is an example for inserting qaf and kaf. أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْ. You see that alphabet there, أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْ. The qaf on there is carrying a sukun. And usually, qaf is also one of the huruf al-qalqala, like we said. And we're going to discuss that, inshallah, as time goes on. He said, أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْ. You're supposed to say, أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْ. Then there is kafun following qafun, but you know qaf and kaf have similar pronunciation, they have similar description, so you do not want to find yourself confusing the way you recite it. Therefore, what you do is you recite it with what? Al-idgham. The kind of idgham is idghamul mutaqaribaini. You recite it by saying alam nakhluq alam nakhluq. Notice that they are saying k. The kafun is going straight there. You are taking out the kafun entirely. You say alam nakhluq kum or alam nakhluq kum or alam nakhluq kum. You don't have to be clever about it. Just take off the kaf and go straight to the kaf. Alam nakhluq kum, alam nakhluq kum. So these are the examples for that. Now the next one, Malam is saying, ma huwa idghamul mutajanisaini. Now what is idghamul mutajanisaini? The answer here, Malam says, huwa matahadda mukhrajan wa ikhtalafa sifatan. It is used when you find that an alphabet have similar points of articulation but different pronunciation or different description. So if the alphabets have a similar point of articulation but they come out from different description, then you have to recite them using the same idgham al mutajanisin. Ma mithalu dhalik, the next question, ma mithalu dhalik. Now we're moving to page 15 now for the answer. What are the examples of this? Mylan says mithalu ta'i inda ta'i, ta and ta. Now you have ta'un meeting with ta. Like for instance, la im basap. You see that there is ta there. La im basap ta. La im basap then ta. Surat Nisa'i. La im basat ta. You recite it. La im basat ta. La im basat ta. Why are we saying la im? La im. If you can remember, noon followed by ba'un is what? Al iqlab. Noon followed by ba'un is pronounced with al iqlab. So you say la imba, la imba satta. Forget about the thought. La imba satta. Wa mithalu ta'i. The next example is an example of ta in the ta'i that is followed by pa. Also, like we are talking about it in flip whiskey now. In if it's ta before ta or if it's ta before ta, it's the same thing. So Malan is giving us an example here. He said, وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ وَقَالَ طَائِفَةٌ. You go straight into the ta'un. وَمِثَالُ التَّاءِ عِنْدَ الدَّالِ. Also for the pronunciation of ta that is followed by da. If ta'un is followed by da'un, Malam says أَثْقَلَ الدَّعْوَى أَثْقَلَ الدَّ أَثْقَلَ الدَّ Athqaladda, athqaladda. So athqaladda. And also this also goes two ways as well. If you're pronouncing, like for instance, now you're pronouncing from Suratul Kafirun, you say wala ana abidum ma abattum. If you go there and you see that it is written by abad then tum, but you have to pronounce it abattum. Abattum, abattum. Go straight to the ta'un and skip the dalun. So it goes conversely for this example as well. Wa mithalu lami inda ra'in. Also for the pronunciation of lamun and ra, you also have the same thing there. Wa mithalu lam inda ra'in, which is what? Qur rabbi, wa qur rabbi. Lamun here is followed by ra'un. Lamun and ra'un are two letters that are very much alike in many ways, and you find them usually coming together under different laws. If you go to idgham, you notice that you notice that lamun and ra'un are categorized together. If you go to mimusakina, you notice that lamun and ra'un are categorized together. And if you come down to most places, you find that lamun and ra'un are always mostly together. So also here, if lamun is to meet with ra'un, you pronounce it by saying, by skipping the lamun. You skip the lamun totally. It says qul rabbi, qul rabbi, qul rabbi, qul rabbi. Say to the ra'un mukari ishadda. Then mithalu dhali wa mithalu dhali inda dha'i. Also there is the example of the and za, the and za. In the example here you have id zalamu, id zalamu, id ظلموا, but you pronounce it by saying إذ ظلموا إذ ظلموا إذ ظلموا إذ ظلموا إذ ظلموا إذ ظلموا. You go straight and skip the ذلون and say إذ ظلموا. Now this is the way that it is supposed to be recited, although there is usually an exception for especially roars like this, like the lamun followed by ra. It has one example, one exception rather. You know, we said lamun followed by ra, what do you do? You skip the lamun, okay, and you go straight to the ra. But there is an exception, which is in surah al-mutaffifin, surah al-tatfif. Now when you're reciting is in surah al-tatfif, yani you go if you have your mushaf with you, you can check the ayah number 14. So there you have an exception for the pronunciation of lamun followed by ra, where Allah Azza wa Jalla says kallabal rana, kallabal rana. You see bal is followed by what? Ra. Bal is followed by rana. Yani so if you are going to recite this, you have to recite it by what? By putting an izhar on the bal, on the bal. You don't say kalla bal ghananu, because if you are reciting in the Hafsun way and Asim and in the style of Shatibiya, like we always say, there is a sakta, yani there is a silence there. You see that sin written above the lamb, it's a sign of sakta, yani silence. You keep silent but you won't breathe and you won't discontinue recitation. You just keep silent by saying kalla bal ران على قلوبهم, كلا بل ران على قلوبهم. So this represents the exception that we're talking about, inshallah. So we are going to inshallah be stopping here for today, and we'll continue inshallah probably from Fasl Ahkam al-Madud. We're going straight into the Madda, yani the Madud, but there are different types of Madda and it's probably very plenty, so we can either continue from here or we can probably skip these pages and go to another issue, then discuss it before coming back to the Madda. So by tomorrow day, inshallah, we'll completely make up our minds on that, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala ashraf al-mursaleen, sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad, mab'uuth rahmatil alameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. السلام على المرسلين وآخر دعوانا على الحمد لله رب العالمين.